11 o'clock hour of Will the Attach begins. All right, let's talk Lucas Van Ness, then we'll get to Japan and Brewers opening day, home opener. I already played their opener in New York. That's all still ahead, along with Wonelli. But, Tausch, are you a doubter now? Because no one accurately predicted the pick swap that occurred in the 2023 NFL draft as part of the Aaron Rodgers trade. And it appeared that the Packers might have been better off at 15 if they would have taken Will McDonald there, because he's had a much more significant impact for the Jets than Lucas Van Ness has had in Green Bay. He is going into year three. He was, I would argue, even less productive in year two than he was as a rookie. What do you make of where his arrow is pointing, and what is your feeling about him as we move into this critical year three?
So I think the concerning part to me isn't his rookie season. I thought his rookie year, he showed a few things. I remember he chased Justin Fields down. He did some things that you're like, all right. And you just look at it, and everybody wants everybody to be Aaron Donald right away. Kenny Clark took a little time to develop and figure things out. You have to kind of figure out, all right, how do you win? I think old Hendrickson, who everybody is would love to have in Green Bay, another great example. He wasn't Trey Hendrickson in his first couple seasons.
You're right.
So let's not just say, oh, he stinks, he can't play. But the concerning part is, at the end of the season, his rep count wasn't where you would want it to be for somebody that you felt like at the end of year two, coming on, you'd think would be playing more than maybe what we saw. And whether that's Enigbare, or at least from an impact standpoint, because rep count-wise, I think you had given me these stats earlier. He played in like mid-30% of the snaps.
So he played
over the course of the season.
I've got it in front of me here. For the entire season, and then I'll get you, because your point that you're making is an important one and a good one. For the entire season, he played 428 defensive snaps. That was 39.3 of the overall defensive snaps. That is fewer than Rashawn Gary. That is fewer than Kingsley Enagbare. That is only slightly more than Preston Smith played, and Preston Smith was gone for the second half of the year because he was away. Kenny Clark played more. T.J. Slayton played roughly the same amount. Carl Brooks played more snaps than Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah, and he should. And I think Carl Brooks has been somebody that we've seen play, do bigger impact plays than Lucas Van Ness, LVN.
So we can still, we don't have to him, not do that, by the way.
Just no, I understand, but I think there is, you know, there's a laziness to saying LVN rather than saying Lucas Van Ness from a name standpoint. Anytime you have a foundation that you can build an NFL career on, that's your starting point. And I'm not saying the reason that Matt LaFleur thought we need a new defensive line coach is because of Lucas Van Ness, but I'm definitely not saying it's not. You have somebody here that has, yeah, put the math together, date line it up, and it'll make sense. Your job as an NFL player is to play to your strengths and continue to work on your weaknesses so that they become strengths. And I think Lucas Van Ness is somebody, he's strong, he's an athlete, he's all of the things you need. But when I said when they drafted him, it's going to be up to him to find those counters, to find the moves off of it. You don't need to win every snap. You play D-line, you play D-end. You set things up, and with that power he's got, you have an inherent advantage on other players because all of a sudden you pop people, they have to set their anchor, and that's where you get the hand swipes, and you get an offensive lineman, much like the sumo game. If you get their feet stopped and you're moving forward, you're winning. All right? You get an offensive lineman's feet stopped and you're still propelling yourself ahead with an arm swipe or something else, guy has to anchor down. and all of a sudden you then get a dip and rip or do something else, you're going to win. And he has just not done that enough. And that's where I start wondering if you look at the D-line coach and say, we need someone with a different mentality and different ideas to help spur him, spur Wyatt, spur some of these guys on so that we get more wins one-on-one. Because all you can ask for is a D-lineman, just give me a one-on-one and let me go hunt. Let me go hunt. And guys are getting hunting opportunities, but they're not bringing back. They're bringing back enough to eat, but you're not getting that bounty. You're not getting that on the old Oregon Trail game. You're not getting that buffalo where you're packing all that meat and you're salting it away and you can keep it. The big boy games, you got to win. You ain't getting the championships eating squirrel. You need to eat buffalo.
So you made the point from the very beginning, and then we'll move off of Lucas Van Ness after this. You made the very important point at the very beginning of his career about what you just talked about, the idea of adding to working on your weaknesses. Did you learn in the NFL fairly quickly that guys that were just, I don't want to say one trick pony, but guys that were all bull rush were easy for you to handle? Easy is not the right word I want there either, but easier for you to handle because they didn't have a diversified approach to try and beat you.
So it was always for me, I wanted players to play with power. Now, if you were all speed, but I didn't have to worry about you bull rushing me and, you know, beat me that way, I could maybe bail out and get out a little bit quicker and not have to keep, you know, the same sturdiness that you need if you have somebody that can do both. The reason why those guys are such great pass rushers is they force you out of your comfort zone. If it's a guy that's all speed, all right, get out there and, all right, I'm not going to be maybe as strong to take on your power, but your power is not going to affect me the same. If you have somebody that can get you to have to anchor down on the power and then still have enough speed to beat you, or the hand swipes and all the other things, that's when you take your game to that next level. And I think right now, Lucas Van Ness, I think everybody appreciates his power, but if you're only about power, a lot of big, strong guys, a lot of big,
right,
strong fellas that are going to be able to absorb or punch, take that on, and not really have a ton of problems with it. And your job as a D lineman, and I remember Jethro Franklin, our old defensive line coach, always just saying, just get those guys uncomfortable. Don't let offensive linemen get comfortable. I was comfortable if I could be two kicks and I'm sitting there and I'm centered up on somebody. I felt like I was going to win every one. It was where I was a half a step behind somebody, and that put me in a position where I'd have to bail, and then you could easily use your power against me, or you could slip back inside because I'm bailing out because I'm worried about your speed and your power. If I'm only worried about one thing, your job as an offensive tackle is a heck of a lot easier than it is if you got to worry about multiple.
All right, so that's your advice for Lucas Van. What is your advice for Chris and others in the YouTube comments who are interested in traveling to Japan? Check out the sumo wrestlers. Eat lots of sushi. What else do you have on your recommendation or avoidance list?
I'll say this. The thing that I was probably most impressed with, besides the culture and the food and the efficiency, man, you talk about efficiency. Their train system, once you can read and figure out where you actually have to go and which lines you have to get on, I mean, it is smooth. The vending machine game over there is next level. I don't know how they do it, but utilize the vending machine. You get a taste of their culture, their stuff. They have vending machines that got hot drinks. They got ice cream drinks. They got sodas. They got waters. They got fruit. They got – it is an amazing thing. They got sandwiches. They got – you don't have to go to a restaurant. You just go to, and there's vending machines everywhere. Where that power comes from, I have no idea.
So they're like on the streets, like there used to be like
everywhere.
Newspaper boxes?
It's,
and I just get a sandwich
you
out of the machine?
But they're not like our sandwiches. Like, it's just different. Like, they're good.
Well, is this like the Italian pizza thing?
No, I'm telling you, their stuff in these vending machines, my kids, all they really wanted to eat, Max wanted to wolf down sushi, so did Eleanor.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But they were fine. If we would have said it's vending machine only today, they would have been fine. Or, you know, the amazing part of it was you could get, and it was ice cold. Like, and then it was like piping hot. I don't know how many vending machines.
Two different things.
Sure. But in the same machine. Different rows. They had hot row, medium row, cold row. I don't know what the hell was going on.
The Goldilocks vending machine.
Jason, there are vending machines in every quadrant, and I don't know where the power's coming. I don't know if it's like hooked up to the
bay.
And then you go into their subway system. It's like they have towns. Like shopping malls underneath at these train stations. And you go in there and you think you're in the Hobbit world. You go down there and there's like different. It's just, I can't fathom. You know, you go to a subway in New York, you don't want to get urinated on and there's poop and it's just rats. Here you go down there and you could like live down there comfortably. But it's just a different world.
So you're
another piece of advice. I didn't know this.
Sure.
We went somewhere that you get these sulfur eggs, and it's supposed to add 7 years to your life. Yeah, I thought the same thing. It smells sulfury.
Did you bring them back?
Sounds like a Jack and the Beanstalk type situation here.
No, we ate them, and they're phenomenal.
So do you get seven for every egg?
They're good. Well, that was one thing. We ended up getting eight eggs. I don't know what we did with the other four.
You ate sulfur?
We all ate one. Well, I don't think they were sulfur, but it smelled sulfury.
Is it guaranteed?
And they're black. They're black. No, there's no guarantees in life, but they say that
it's like
they
prize
recommend
picks.
This will give you 7 extra years. So go try these 7-year Japanese hard-boiled eggs. That would be a thing that I would say.
Okay.
What else did I write down? They don't have garbage cans. There are no garbage cans anywhere.
Well, what do you do with your garbage?
You got to really hunt. Like, you got to hunt. You find a vending machine, you trip. You find a vending machine, but you try to find it somewhere to put the can or anywhere else. You got to be in a train station in a certain spot. And they're just, you know how we have garbage cans everywhere we look?
It does seem like that,
that ain't
yes.
The case. It's not the case.
All right, one last Japanese question, and then
and
we're going to...
egg yolks. I was going to do...
Yolks
I
on
was
you.
Thinking about, the egg yolks are so much redder, and I found out they feed their chickens paprika. They put paprika
on
their food.
Are you making this up?
This all sounds made up.
Google it. No, Google it.
I did.
Do the Japanese feed their chickens paprika? That's what I'm searching.
Yes. The sulfur egg has a name. Awakadani.
What's it called?
Awakadani.
That could be. That sounds right.
An active volcanic valley in the famed Hakone region. I don't know anything about Japan.
Yeah, Hakone. It's Hakone. Come on, Jesse. It's Hakone.
I just said I don't know anything about it. I don't know what I'm saying.
Kind of like Tausch knows nothing about this paprika thing, which has been debunked.
It's customary to
and
say a
you
prayer
have to go
and then
check
eat
out,
an egg.
You got to check out Mount Fuji. Mount Fuji's a special place. That would be my other recommendation. Enjoy the vending machines. Be very cautious on any type of garbage because you can't find anywhere to put it. There's just no garbage. Try the Japanese egg. And what are you talking about? It's been debunked. You don't think egg yolks are different in Japan?
While it's a popular misconception, Japanese farmers don't typically feed chickens paprika to achieve brighter orange egg yolks. Instead, the color comes from a natural diet rich in carotenoids, like those found in corn, alfalfa, and marigold petals.
So that was a misnomer. That is a myth. That
apparently
my entire family believed and was told, because we asked when we found
some sort of
someone that spoke English.
Somebody selling, did they try to sell you paprika? at the end of the conversation.
No, they magic eggs. Paprika.
Paprika. Delicious. Any protein muffins in the vending machines?
That's not bad. And did you know this? If you get their strawberries and the fruit, they don't put preservatives. So they are just strawberries, right? And once strawberry season's done, they don't have strawberries. Like, it gets, you know, we have strawberry seasons pretty low here. I don't know what, you know, usually what, May to July? Japan, it's a little different. But once the season's done, you ain't eating strawberries. Like, you're eating what's fresh. At least that's what the strawberry salesman told us.
And they all taste like paprika. Okay. I want to get some Brewers opening. Z and the D, that's what I... Hey, I'm trying, bro. It is opening day. Brewers home opener, which is on across ESPN Wisconsin, in addition to, obviously, the flagship 620 WTMJ. When you're in Japan, can you play Prize Picks?
I don't think so.
But you're back home.
But it is available in more than 30 states here.
There you go.
The app is simple to use. And you can create a lineup. All you got to do is pick more or less on at least two player stats, and you can win up to 1,000 times your money. And I love baseball. I know Z and the D just said baseball season. I always have liked that first inning. More or less one run. More or less pitches. Prize Picks has continued to advance in baseball. You can combine your favorite basketball players with players from baseball and hockey and esports and much, much more. The best place to cash in on your favorite sports. Don't miss your chance to cash in on the league's best right now for playoff positioning in basketball. You got opening day, home opening day for the Brewers. Download the app today. Use that code WI. Jesse, I'm gonna tail you today on a Brewers Prize Picks projection. Whatever you pick, I'm gonna tail today. And you can also do that. Use code WI. You can get $50 instantly. All you gotta do is play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's use code WI on downloading the Prize Picks app. Use the code WI to get $50 instantly. Prize Picks.
Run
your
game.
Speaking of minutes since we did that.
Speaking of games, the Brewers play a game today against the Kansas City Royals. A lot of AL games to start the slate for an NL team that used to be in the
AL.
What
kind of bats? They got torpedo bats or no?
I hope not.
We will discuss that.
If they do, it's going more.
It's torpedoing the Brewers pitching staff. It is home, the day of the home opener. We'll talk baseball, Z and the D, and others looking for that. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So while Tausch was away, a lot of things happened on this side of the international dateline, including the Brewers starting their season in New York against the Yankees. I think I saw a tweet at one point from Adam Schefter, who I guess he's a Yankees fan, that Aaron Judge was on a pace to hit 308 home runs this season. And with those new bats, he might actually get there. I am curious, Tausch. Since you were disconnected, now you come back. What are they, 0-3, right, after giving up 15 home runs in that three-game series?
Right.
What were your expectations, and in any way have they changed for the 2024 Brewers? Because we had Jeff Levering on, who always finds time for us. We love Jeff on this show. And I think he's bullish on this team, too, but not a great start. What about you?
Yeah, it's the Yankees are the Yankees, and obviously, you know, not a great start for the Brewers, but the division that we're in, this team, you're expecting a lot of the young guys that played really well last year to continue on that trajectory. I think the question is going to be pitching and whether or not you end up getting anything close to what you saw last year. It definitely didn't start that way. Doesn't mean it won't finish that way. So I trust Matt Arnold. I trust the brain trust over there that this is going to be a team that will, you know, be right there when it gets to be September. But I don't think you're going to see the same consistency from what you saw last year in the pitching ranks. And I hope I'm wrong. I think it's going to be a slog, and I just hope that when we get to be late August, early September, we're right there. I don't think you're going to see us run away with anything like we did last year. But I am not under – I'm not going to fall for the, oh, my God, the world is ending because we gave up 15 home runs. Obviously, it's not ideal, but that stuff seems to equal itself out over the course of the season, and I think that's what we'll end up seeing.
Especially if you get some of those bats. Jesse, you are a diehard Brewers fan. Your dad was an usher, for those that are unfamiliar, at AmFam Field / Miller Park. Are you still... You can't let three games affect you, especially against the reigning AL champs. But are you still as hopeful, or are you starting to think maybe I was falling for the banana in the tailpipe a little bit on how encouraged people were coming out of spring training?
I tweeted yesterday that this brutal, disastrous start at the Bronx will make the World Series championship that much sweeter to tell the story of come October when the Brewers win it all. I am optimistic that they still have a chance to be in the mix at the end of the year. You can't win a division in April, but you can lose it. So it's important to not start like 1-9 would be panic
what
time.
What does that mean?
You can't,
what does that mean?
You can,
it sounded
the Washington
so
Nationals
good, though.
Won a World Series and they're in fifth place in a 4-team division in July, the year they won it. So what the hell does that mean you could lose it in April?
And
that
how,
doesn't make any
how
sense.
Many other teams besides the Washington Nationals that one time have started 2-15 and have come back and won the World Series? Like, you can
probably not many.
You can
the White Sox last year.
Like, baseball is a long season. You can have a slow start, a sluggish start, a disastrous start like they had over the weekend, and still bounce back well. Win 2 of 3 at home. Go 500 on the road. You'll be in good shape, especially with 6 teams making the playoffs every year. But it's important not let the vibe be deterred too quickly in the season. I think Pat Murphy's great at adjusting that on the fly and making sure that that won't be the case. But if they were to start, like if they get swept by the Royals and they're 0-6 to start the year, I don't care what sport you're playing. Like, if the Packers lose like they did to the Saints 38-3, was it, in that first game of the year a few years ago, like they were able to overcome that awful start and still be the one seed in the NFC.
0-6 would be like us losing the home opener against Philly.
Yeah.
That's what that'd be like.
Right. And so, like, that can compromise the start to year if it builds into the second football game or the third, fourth, and fifth series of the season for the Brewers. Like, if this becomes a thing for the first 2 or 3 weeks that they're in a rut, which oftentimes teams will go into in the middle of the summer as opposed to right out of the gates, it can dissolve the momentum at the start of a season.
I don't feel like this team, because I am a big believer in the NFL, because there's fewer games, that getting off to a fast start gets more guys believing that this their year could be special. And it kind of can change, especially with a more of a veteran team or a younger team trying to figure things out, right? You get that confidence with if it's a quarterback, we're winning, we're doing things, we're off and going. Baseball is just a different animal. And, you know, a couple years ago when we got swept by the worst team in baseball, one of the worst teams in baseball.
Some people overreacted.
Baseball is just a sport where you don't overreact until you have to. And even if, now if you go 0-12 to start, okay, you don't want to be 0-6. You prefer coming out of this 2-4 or 3-3. That's what you'd prefer. Then all of a sudden you just start kind of falling into your rhythm. Mm-hmm. But you will start pressing. And the thing that you worry about is if you're a young team and you start losing and you're 0-6 and you're 0-7, all of a sudden then you can't get into, oh, my God, the harder you squeeze the old Dick Bennett line, The more you love something, you got to let hold on. You don't want to hold on tightly. You got to hold on loosely. You start tightening up. And when you do that, great things typically don't happen. You end up letting a lot of things fall through your grip. And the case here, let's get one. You got a lot of emotion, obviously, with the Bob Uecker, all of the tributes that you're going to see. There is going to be it's going to be a highly emotional, charged game. I think today is
really important.
It's
like senior day.
I think it's really important because when you dump a lot of emotion into something, and if you don't win, then there's always the letdown after anyways. It's really a letdown if you dump everything in and you find a way to not win today and you're 0-4. And, oh, my God, we gotta find a win.
Then you start pressing.
That's when you start pressing, and that's when things can get sideways. So for as much as I don't want to agree with Jesse because I think it's a long season, when you factor in today and how emotionally charged it's going to be at AmFam Field, you need to find a way to win today, I think, to kind of quell everything else, stop talking about these bats and everything, and just get into who you are as a baseball team and let the guys have their kind of get into their rhythm of a season. Because if you're losing early and you're pressing, it's harder and harder to get into it. And then if you're chasing all season, you got to use all that emotional capacity just to try to find your way back in and not playing from out in front. It can be a big energy suck on a season that you're always looking for ways to maintain your energy.
I also think for the people that are going to the game, like just assuming that the Brewers are going to take care of business against Kansas City because they've been awful for a long time. Remember, they made the ALDS last year. They won a wild card series, something we were not able to do. So don't sleep on them. They're a decent team. They've got some really good players on that team still. Like, this is going to be a battle. And if you lose today and then you go 1-5 in the first six, like Tausch was saying, like that is not an ideal start for a team that can ride that momentum. And especially with the emotional charge that this series and today in particular has.
Yeah, I hope Christian Yelich hits a walk-off home run today. That's what I would love to see.
That would be awesome. I hope he hits a home run early in the game and they win going away. But what's crazy to me, 2 years ago, we had these discussions. And right now, if you had to say which Wisconsin professional team is in the worst spot, it's the Milwaukee Bucks of winning a championship.
Is this because of the tweet you sent us? Well, I mean, their second best player is out with a blood clot.
Yeah.
One of their other crucial pieces has been suspended for 25 games. Like, I don't want to be prisoner of the moment guy like that tweet that you sent us, but like, yeah, a bunch of crappy things have happened this year. It has not gone well at different points. But like,
you said that the last 3 years.
Yeah, but you remade your roster around Giannis and Dame at the trade deadline, right? You take Damian Lillard off your team. Take the number two guy off all the other teams and see how they're doing too. It's a star-driven league. This is bad, right? You lose Damian Lillard, that's bad. And they can
Jason,
act like
all I'm saying is we went from being, you know, I think you could make an argument 2 years ago when Jordan Love was taken over. Oh, we don't know about the Packers. The Bucks we feel really good about. And in the course of a year and a half or 2 years, I would say that I feel worse about where the Milwaukee Bucks stand than any other professional team.
Right, but do you feel great about the others? Like, the Packers lost their last three games
last year. I feel really good about
year.
Green Bay. I feel really good about Green Bay. I do.
But you always
feel
good.
I think most people do. Not always. I didn't feel good when they were 2-5. I didn't feel good. You guys were questioning my sanity on the show when we were 2-5, and I thought, you know, I was a roller coaster. I couldn't. So, no, I didn't feel great then. But
well, they were never 2-5
last year,
though.
What I'm trying to say is slow down on the Brewers. I think the Brewers are going to be just fine.
Okay.
I don't feel the same way about the Milwaukee Brewers.
Good advice.
At all.
Hey, what does
very concerned.
Do we know what Gerriard does for a living?
I think he's taken over 565 with the Clinkster. I know we've had some issues with Canada recently, but I think we're still good with the Clinster.
I think he might be a ticket broker. I don't know what he does, but he is having a very good day.
Why are you putting his business on the streets?
That's an inside joke. He's not a ticket broker, but he's been very busy in the, like, we've got Matt Kunin, who's like the most valuable texter. I would argue Gerriad is the MVUC, most valuable YouTube chatter. He even translated.
You got to put a T in there too, then.
Well, YouTube is one word.
That's not, though. It's really not.
Okay, be that as it may, he even translated Run Your Game to Japanese. So he's had a pretty strong performance in there today. All right, we need to get to Whoa Nelly. Before we can do that, Tausch needs to tell us about UW Credit Union and how I've been a member of UW Credit Union far longer than he has.
You have, but I am a UW Credit Union member, and for every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you, proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They're going to help you reach your financial goals. And you know what, members, you get their money up to 2 days sooner with early payday, and you get a checking account with no monthly fees at UW Credit Union. Join today at uwcu.org. It's insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
Dr. Denver Dan, previously known as Yama's new man, I think is what his old sign-on was. Public service announcement, don't bet on Tausch's hunches. Yeah, that's good advice. I think you should follow that advice. The advice I have for you next is stick around for Whoa Nelly. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse, you've had kind of a quiet show. Time to change that with Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
How much do you guys know about sports betting?
I know the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel has a beautiful sports book with really good salmon and scalloped potatoes.
Yes, you're big on the food there. Yes.
Excellent.
Which is very good. Do you know what a parlay is, Jason?
I do. I just watched a lengthy piece from Last Week Tonight with John Oliver explaining how prevalent sports betting has become, which was very interesting to watch. It's on YouTube. It's worth your time if you're interested. Yes, and I also know that you're very unlikely to hit on parlays.
Correct.
The odds are against you.
So before I left Dubuque for our NCAA tournament weekend extravaganza a couple of weekends ago, I put a $10 wager on the ESPN Bet app for all four number one seeds to reach the final four. Ah, thank you. That's pretty.
It's only happened one other time in NCAA tournament history, by the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 2008. So I put that wager down, and then because it was like NCAA tournament weekend, they had a little boosty thing where you could get a little bit extra on it. So I ended up
having... Was it a little devil or a gnome
it was not,
or a frog?
That's different. That's different. This was just a little, like a green arrow pointing up. Yeah.
Okay.
So I got even better odds than most on it, which was pretty great. So this weekend rolls around. Obviously, all four number ones are still in it. On Saturday afternoon, Florida should have lost, came back miraculously in the last 5 minutes, beat Texas Tech. They win. Duke takes care of business on Saturday night. Then yesterday afternoon, Houston goes up big on Tennessee, and I text my friend Corey, Tier 1 Corey in Chicago. I said, Corey, I might need some help. I think I need to hedge my parlay. Are you familiar?
He said, no, you fool.
Are you familiar with what hedging the parlay is?
I'm very familiar with hedging. I don't know about parlays, though.
So when you have multiple legs of a parlay and you are very close to winning it with just one result left, like you're guaranteed if... So I was guaranteed if... who played the last game? Auburn. If Auburn won, I was going to win $100 around. If Auburn did not win, I would win nothing. So what I did is I texted Corey in Chicago. I said, put $20 for me on Michigan State money line to win straight up against Auburn. So I'm sacrificing $20, where if Michigan State wins, I lose my original $10 bet, but I win $40 on Michigan State. Or I take the hit, I lose $20 from the $100 that I won. So it's a win-win once you get to that situation, but you're not winning as much as if you would just let it ride.
Tausch, are you still listening?
No, it's like
we're
1 a.m.
We're close.
So I'm good. I think it's 1 a.m.
The question ultimately is it weak or smart to hedge the parlay in the situation I was in yesterday?
It turned out to be stupid. You gave away $20.
It turned out to be stupid, but it ensured a guaranteed victory.
I thought it was dumb.
I think anytime you can get a guarantee, I understand where you're coming from on it, but you go down there and you put that down, you put the $10 down to try to get a big hit. And you're either going to do it or you're not. It's not as if you had, it was, you know, I don't know if there's a, I don't want to be sound all snooty-ish and anything, but you're either going to win $100 or you're not. And this way, you're gonna win $60, or you're gonna win $80, or you're gonna win $20,
yeah. 40 or 80.
Your life, yeah, is it? Is that changing your
it's
life?
It's not changing my life, no. But it's guaranteeing
it's a,
your victory.
I think it's the Hall Monitor's kind of right analytical play to do what you did.
Hall Monitor analytics, not to be confused with 565 analytics.
No.
So
565 would have let it ride. We go with that.
So it was 10 to 1 odds. Is that what you're telling me?
Roughly, yeah. Around that. I mean, it was like plus whatever. I don't have it up. I could look, but.
Okay, I'm just asking because that's a pretty nice win for you.
Yeah,
for $10.
It's a nice win. It was a nice win.
Now it's a little less nice.
Mm-hmm.
Ron in the key. In the YouTube comments, which apparently now is where he lives.
Yeah.
says, Jesse, hedging wasn't dumb. How you hedged was dumb.
Oh.
So I, of course, said, how should he have hedged?
Oh, boy.
You had the favorite. You take the dog plus the points, so you might have been able to win both. Sounds like maybe Ron has put a shekel or two down during his time on this earth.
That is smart. Yeah.
Whoa, Nelly!
Speaking of the one seeds, all four of them are in the Final Four for the first time since 2008. Does this make you intrigued or not at all intrigued to watch the games next Saturday and Monday night's championship? Which, by the way, they're starting 30 minutes earlier because everyone complained the last couple of years.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I think this is going to sound crazy to you.
Well, yes, it is.
I have been a anti-Dukeite for a long time.
Oh, no.
No, just hear me out.
You are
since
not.
Since 2015.
Don't do it.
You are not going to do it.
Don't do it, man.
Since 2015, you know, the Coach K debacle and what he's done and everything else, I watched the Leitner special. I liked the Leitner teams, 92, 93. Like, I thought that beating UNLV in 91 is one of those, you know, sports moments. I'm not going to be upset if Duke wins the championship.
Because of Con Knipple?
Wisconsin guy. And I think John Shire, he ain't Coach K.
He does seem pretty likable.
All of a sudden now, it's more about Duke than it is about Coach K, which I kind of like that, too.
Well, he's not Coach K until he is.
Well, that's a good point. I'm starting to, because I've never liked the SEC because of their arrogance. It's going to be hard for me to root for an SEC team. So if Houston, I think Houston plays Duke, right, Jesse? I want to make sure I got this correct.
Duke and Houston play, Auburn and Florida play in the Final Four.
Okay, thank you. If Houston doesn't win, I got to go for Duke to win the championship. Because I can't get on board with an SEC team.
You want to root for Bruce Pearl? UW-Milwaukee extraordinaire?
We like Bruce. Yeah, but I don't like the SEC. So I'm kind of torn on this. I'll have to...
Clearly.
Again, I'm at 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll have to think through this a little bit, but I will say I don't hate Duke as much as I used to.
Well, that's very grown-up of you. I'm impressed. I don't want... Con Knipple, one of us, Wisconsinite. His mom was the all-time leading scorer at UWGB. All great things. I can't root for Duke. John Shire, very likable fellow.
Totally understand your point of view on it because I was there. But
I'm really surprised that you've gone this direction.
I have to evolve in life.
The new Duke?
Yeah, I can't just sit here and... This isn't Coach K's team anymore. It's been 3-4 years. He can't take credit for a championship. Yeah. It was surprising to me to feel the way that I felt, too.
Yeah. Pulling for the Yankees this season as well, apparently. All right. That is Wonelli.
Lakers. Yeah, the Bucks are Lakers. Out. Go Lakers.
No. Go Bron.
You don't have to worry about the Lakers. It's not going to be a rule.
So just to make sure we're all on the same page, Jesse, we have Brewers coverage across ESPN Wisconsin. So we are actually going to go late on our show today?
We get to go
Tausch
a couple minutes
late. Tausch is
barely
awake at this point.
Yeah?
It's 1 in the morning in Tokyo.
What? Little old T.O.T. We get to go a couple extra minutes today.
What's goofy about that is I always am saying we could do more. Let's do a digi. And today I just want to – I'm ready. I'm at that point in my life. And now you're telling me you got to go longer?
Old TOT.
What, I missed 2 weeks and you want me to work more? What the hell's going on?
You owe us at least 4 more minutes. That's what I would say.
That seems fair. I can handle that.
All right. Well, there you have it. We will wrap things up in an extended edition. Get that man a cup of mud so he can make it through the next 8 minutes.
Quick trip, line one.
Are you, in all honesty, because I've never traveled that distance.
Yeah, me either.
Are you struggling? You've been to Australia. That's even worse, isn't it?
I wasn't doing a show. It's just different. It's different. This was more condensed. This was more accentuated. I'm real curious how my kids do in school today. That's going to be real interesting.
You didn't build in the extra day off when you got back, which I think is maybe a miss.
Well, we did, but it was a different day.
Oh, this again.
We did build a day in.
It's already Thursday in Japan.
I mean, it's Tuesday in Japan and today's Monday. That's a day. I don't know what else you want me to do.
All right, well, we will extend Tausch's longest day in the history of the show by a couple of extra minutes.
How is it still March? I don't understand that either.
Well, it's not in Japan.
Nicely done. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
If they're not better this year.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
There's going to be a lot of seats warming up.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down. He's got a pedigree.
We don't need an excuse to be able to go over on time on Wildy and Tausch, but because we have some bonus minutes, and Tausch is still going strong as he adjusts to being back on our side of the international dateline, let's get some clarification on how that dateline was in fact drawn. Jesse, fill us in.
From scienceabc.com is where
that's where I go for all my scientific information.
Some light reading today. All right, so in the 1700s or 1800s, we created the Greenwich Meridian, which was the point. And that was simply because at the time, England had the best navy. So when they were determining something over the body of water that they needed to designate as 0 degrees longitude to match the equator, England said, "We got this." And they just kind of claimed 0 degrees longitude to be the Greenwich Meridian. So then the international dateline, as time evolved, literally, and they tried to figure out, okay, time zones around the world so that noon in England isn't the same as noon being dark in the middle of the night in Japan. They figured out that the exact opposite end of the world from the Greenwich Meridian happens to be this line that goes through the Pacific Ocean where there's not a lot of life, quite frankly. Like, there's, you know, a couple of countries here and there where they squiggle the line a little bit so they can use whatever side of it they want. But for the most part, it doesn't really impact a bunch of people. So coincidentally, it worked out where it's almost exactly the other side of the world. So that is how the international dateline was formed, because the fewest amount of people will travel across that border, that line, where it will impact going from one day to another. So that is how the international dateline was officially born.
So can we confirm that it does not go through any land masses?
Well,
you didn't check that fact, did you?
They said it goes around a couple of things. There's certain territories. So
it's not a direct line.
It's not a direct line. If it goes right through, they don't want two. They specifically call out they don't want two cities to have to determine whether you want to be one or the other. Like, that would be silly. So
that would be silly.
That they do move it so it goes around, so each territory gets to choose what it wants. Now, there was one line in this article that really
from Science ABCs.
Yes, it's from scienceabc.com.
Sounds like it's kind of a children's website.
A little bit. The international dateline is not part of international law, so countries are free to observe whatever dates they choose.
Oh, boy.
So it's not even binding?
That's dangerous. That's a dangerous precedent to be putting into play.
And with that, let's go to opening day.
Without further ado, that's it for us today. It's time for Brewers baseball across ESPN Wisconsin and on 620 WTMJ. Thanks to Tausch for pushing through his exhaustion. It is now on his body clock, 2:03 a.m. on Tuesday, April 1st.
Did the Brewers
win? Have a great... Well done, Jesse. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.